The world may change around us at breakneck speed, and we may be moving faster than ever. But one thing that never seems to go out of style as we speed through our daily lives is bumper stickers. Somehow we adore distilling life down to 8 or 9 pithy words and advertising it for everyone to see. But those catchy aphorisms are deeper than they seem. Just ask our guest this morning. He's a philosophy teacher at the Menlo School in California and a bumper sticker aficionado. Good morning, I'm Veronica Ricker, and I'm glad to be with you this Thursday morning. I'm in today for Kathleen Dunn. This hour, the philosophy of bumper stickers, what they mean and why we love them. Jack Bowen is our guest this morning. He's a philosophy teacher and the author of If You Can Read This, The Philosophy of Bumper Stickers. And we'd love to hear from you. Do you have a favorite bumper sticker? Do you like reading them? And do you have one on your own car? If you don't, why not? The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. And you can always send us email to talk@wpr.org. And Jack Bowen, thanks so much for joining us today.
Hi, Veronica. Thanks for having me.
Sure. How did you first get interested in bumper stickers?
Well, there was actually one bumper sticker that caught my eye, and I was teaching a section on the death penalty in my philosophy class, and that morning was driving out to get my morning coffee and was behind a car that had the bumper sticker, "Why do we kill people? To show people that killing people is wrong." Hmm. Which is a really good summary of a very popular argument against the death penalty. So I started class that day by just walking into the class, turning my back, writing that on the board, citing my source, you know, bumper sticker, Menlo Park, September 1st. And as I turned around, the students had immediately sort of glommed onto the idea and were really doing philosophy. And I found that this bumper sticker was a great catalyst for instilling philosophical discussion.
Well, it can be easy, I guess, to dismiss bumper stickers as a bunch of people just sounding off in a kind of irritating way, but somehow we're always compelled to read them. Why is that?
Well, I think, and this is, you know, sort of a testament to bumper sticker authors, is that bumper stickers in so few words say so much, and there's almost always some semblance of really thoughtful, catchy rhetoric or sarcasm, right? If that bumper sticker had said, the death penalty is really bad, no one would be interested in it, or you shouldn't think the death penalty is okay. But instead, it draws you in with a sense of rhetoric or rhetorical question or something, and it's a little bit more of an active interplay. And I think the catchiness of the wording and how so much gets said and so little really is, it makes it worth the 1 second it takes to read.
Do you think bumper stickers ever actually change minds?
Boy, unfortunately, I would say very rarely. But what I would hope, and that's one of the things that I explore in this book, is I would hope that, and I do think that it might cause a genuine thinker. Now, certainly if someone's reactive and they just say, oh, well, to heck with that person, they're wrong, they're an idiot. But it certainly has caused me to take a step back and think, and like, oh, I wonder what this argument really would mean and how it plays into the overall sort of scheme of that particular issue. But to answer your question, realistically, I would say very rarely.
Well, there is something about, you know, you're stuck in your car in traffic, you want something to do, and then I guess if it catches you, you do get caught sort of thinking about things you wouldn't otherwise think about.
Well, yeah, while I was on my book tour, a woman who's in marketing and actually does the slogans for billboards kind of said, wow, bumper stickers seem like, in the same way that billboards are having to sell a product in 3 seconds or less, bumper stickers, in a sense, are selling ideas. And that, in retrospect, is a really good summary of what drove me to write this book, is that bumper stickers really are, it's a sales pitch for an idea, in the case that I gave you, against the death penalty. And you've got to get that person hooked with, you know, contrasting colors and a catchy statement and sell that idea. And it very much is the same thing as, you know, why we can't kind of look away from billboards to find out what product we need to buy.
Do you have a favorite bumper sticker?
Yeah, I knew I got this question right off the bat when my book came out 2 months ago, and was tricky initially. I feel like it's, you know, I put together a list of about 2,500 bumper stickers and distilled it down to the 160 that I focus on in the book. If I had to pick two, one would be a little bit, I'd say, of the foundation for my studying and teaching philosophy, which is, if ignorance is bliss, then why aren't there more happy people?
Mm-hmm.
And the other one, which I find much I sort of cuter, is reading is sexy.
Ah. So those are ones that, well, the ignorance is bliss one. It sort of makes you, that's a deeper philosophical one.
Yes.
You really think about, you know, that's right. People aren't happy. And what does it mean to be fully engaged? And what does ignorance do to our happiness and that kind of thing? And the other one is just kind of, it's sort of a statement about who you are and where you're coming from.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think maybe it's the juxtaposition. That's why I have them tied for first. But the ignorance is bliss, why aren't more people happy, really does, and there's a good example of rhetoric where, you know, they're forcing us to say, well, wait a minute, ignorance isn't bliss. Oh my goodness, Plato was right. We've got to come out of the cave of false realities and explore the world around us, et cetera, et cetera. And reading is sexy was just a fun one for me to delve into. I actually delve into a sort of philosophical exploration of sexiness and actually defend the truth of the statement that reading is sexy. So teachers, when I read that one at schools, teachers really enjoy that.
I like it when they're funny personally. Sometimes they're really clever, but one of the funny ones I came across in your book was militant agnostic, colon, I don't know, and you don't either.
Well, it's, boy, that's interesting that you take that as a funny one. I certainly agree there's a strong sense of humor. I use that bumper sticker to do some real work. That's an issue that I think, you know, there's so much going on in the last, I'll say, 5 years, 3 years even, with the sort of theism versus what are, you know, they're called the new atheists, you know, Dawkins and Hitchens. And I think this bumper sticker, if we take it seriously, can really we can step back a little bit and say, but wow, believers and atheists, to some sense, are all agnostic. I mean, very few people claim to know that there's a supernatural being looking after them or that there isn't one, that it's a matter of just mere belief. It may not even be so much a philosophical position as just a psychological belief. So I agree. I think there is a nice bit of humor in that, but a deeply serious side to that sticker as well.
Right. And in that same vein, you've got another one in here, which is, I forget, on which day did God create all the fossils?
That one is funny. Again, clearly stating a serious position, but the humor. When you were going to the humorous side, the one that came to my mind is, and it's also in this religious vein, but clearly humorous, if God dwells within, I sure hope he likes enchiladas.
Oh my gosh.
Not very philosophical in any way. But
well, what about, humorous. So if those are the new atheist ones, where are the faithful going? What's on their cars?
Well, there's a lot of... we have, I mean, anything from the Ichthys fish, right, the sort of the Christian symbol for the fish, to, I'm trying to get to my, you've got me in my non-believer.
Switching around on you. Well, there's so many, too.
Mode. Oh, boy. There's one about Jesus saves, oh, I can't get to it. And another one, no God, no peace, spelled K-N-O-W. Mm. No God, as in N-O, no peace. Right, so it's a very catchy, taking the, you know, a word that sounds the same but spelling it differently and sort of arguing in a clever way that this is our path to peace. If you don't have a religion or a God, then, you know, peace is really unattainable.
One of the bumper stickers that's caught my eye recently here in Madison, which I hadn't seen before and suddenly seems to be on a lot of cars, is one which is simply IRA, and then the last letter is either a Q or an N, and it's halfway between each. So it's either spelling Iraq or Iran, which obviously made me think, oh, they're saying the words are interchangeable. It's just the latest version. That one really made me
stop. I'm curious. I'm trying to picture that one. I've seen the version where it says IRA, and then the Q and the N, it's as if they're on a...
Right, that's what, the one.
One of, yeah, it's on, and it's as if they're on the old-style gasoline counter, where, like, the Q is going to an N in the same way that, like, an 8 would go to a 9.
Yeah.
As if it was all about oil, so that the words are interchangeable and the only reason we're there is for oil. Is what
See,
I got.
See, the oil thing. I didn't pick up on that. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
If you look closely at the, I think, and the one that I'm picturing, you may have seen a different one.
No, I think that's the one, yeah.
Yeah, the art has it framed such that it's like an old-style gasoline money counter.
Ah, see, I guess they do make us think. You know, we've got tons of people waiting to talk already, so why don't we go to calls a little early, and we'll take a call from Frank in La Crosse first. Hi, Frank.
Hello, good morning.
Morning.
You know, one of the things that I do with my bumper stickers, and I only have a few of them, is I think what I do is I try to promote the things I believe in. One of my bumper stickers is my Wisconsin Public Radio bumper sticker.
Hey, nice.
Proudly displayed there. I also have my Obama-Biden sticker when they were running for office, and then my We Did It bumper sticker. And the only other one that I have, it doesn't really kind of tell people what to do or what to believe in or my thoughts, is my 26.2 bumper sticker for my marathon.
Yeah.
So as a high school teacher trying to promote, well, thinking, and thinking more, and then, you know, fitness and taking care of oneself. So
it sounds like you're kind of promoting your values. Your car is an extension of yourself.
Yeah, I put just in little tiny bits and pieces because as a minivan, I don't, you know, I suppose.
All right. Well, thank you, Frank.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. So he's got his marathon miles on there, and it sounds like he's using the vehicle to express himself. I guess that's what it's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's similar to, you know, like the college sweatshirt where, you know, you wear the sweatshirt of the college you're attending or that you like or your parents attend or used to attend. And it's a little bit of saying, like, I'm not just driving this car, but I also believe in these things, do these things. It's a way to maybe create support for that, whether it's your candidate or this, you know, this club or this thing that you're involved with. And it's a way to show your identity. I mean, when you do that, even something as, you know, as simple as putting it like a professional sports team symbol on your car, that when you've got a, you know, San Diego Chargers symbol on your car, that sort of stands for who you are, but it also connects you. You've already got, you know, you've got 100,000 friends out there on the highway, you know, honking and giving you a thumbs up as they drive by.
You know, it's an interesting thing. My son recently put a Milwaukee Brewers bumper sticker on our car because they gave it to him free. And we like sports, but we're not really sports people. So I have some mixed feelings about that being on there. I feel like it might be saying something about us. It's not true. But on the other hand, who cares? Nobody knows me anyway. I don't know why people care.
Yeah, that's interesting to hear you say that. I mean, I think there's a little bit of that, you know, that tribalistic nature to us, that through evolution that we want to belong to tribes or to groups. And I think that's one of the things that sports teams do for us is it includes us in a tribe or a group. I think, you know, I'm in California, and an Oakland Raiders sticker means something more than you're cheering for the people wearing the black shirts. Like the Oakland Raiders versus the San Francisco 49ers, who are, you know, both very close in the Bay Area, they both stand for something completely different. Like it's almost announcing what type of person you are, as aside
right.
from who you hope wins the game.
It's interesting that some people don't put any bumper stickers on at all, and I wonder if they're worried that they're revealing too much or if they just don't want to mark up their cars.
Yeah, I would be interested. Well, there's a study that I mentioned in the introduction to this book that was done at Colorado State last year, and the study suggests that people who do put stickers on their car tend to be more aggressive. They they give more aggressive horn honks. They give more aggressive, let's say, gestures from the car. And the interesting thing was is it didn't matter if it was an aggressive style bumper sticker, like, you know, my kid beat up your honor student, or something more peaceful, like practice random acts of kindness. It was just the mere fact that they wanted to say something on their bumper had to do with sort of their personality styles.
Oh, that's interesting. Some more outgoing extroverts were more aggressive driving. Let's take another call. We've got Carl joining us from Chippewa Falls. Welcome, Carl. Carl, are you there? Hello? I guess we lost Carl. Well, let's go to Randy in Black River Falls then. Randy, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Great. Go ahead.
I'm a truck driver, so I see a few of them.
Sure.
And I saw one day said, God is coming. Why isn't nobody scared? Which is kind of a statement type deal. I was out in California one day, and I was behind this little yellow Honda Del Sol, almost like a little Porsche type car. A little blonde was driving, and it had like a made up bumper sticker in the back window, like they can get them custom made or whatever someplace.
Mm-hmm.
And it read, it's kind of a funny one. It said UB6 IB9. You know, which is kind of a sexual thing, I guess.
Kind of.
And I saw one, and I've also seen them you can have my gun when they prep for my cold, dead fingers. Now, I drive a pickup truck, and it's an 06 Ford pickup, and I won't put anything on the paint, but I've got, like, proud to be an American on the back window, okay, on a bumper sticker. And I got also on there, my truck is made with nuts and bolts, not chopsticks. Kind of funny ones.
Yeah, so a lot of different ones going on. A lot of people on trucks do that. They have the bumper stickers up higher. They've got the decals and things like that. Is that in the same category as bumper stickers?
I do. You've asked a deeply philosophical question that if you take a bumper sticker and put it on your wall, has it morphed into a wall sticker? Which, believe it or not, I spent a paragraph spilling some ink on that in the book. But yes, I put those all in the same category. Even the baby on board, the little yellow signs that people hang in their windows, which actually serve as more of a blind spot than anything. But
yeah.
I kind of lump those all together as sort of pronouncements that we're making. And it's, you know, he mentioned the if God is coming, why is no one scared? Which reminds me of a sticker, when God comes, can I have your car? Right, which is sort of poking fun at this. Like, well, if you're going to be, you know, if you're supposedly being taken away here when the rapture comes, can I have your car? I.e., I really don't think this is going to be happening. But if you're playing that game, then we might as well. I'll play along with you.
There are so many religious ones. It occurs to me that, I mean, the Darwin fish and the Jesus fish, that goes on and on and on. There are so many iterations of that now, from the Jesus fish to there's the fish and chips one that I've seen.
Right. Well, actually, one of the op-ed pieces that I wrote was actually in the San Francisco Chronicle, where I focus on that. And in my book, I have, you know, 3 pages devoted just to that fish. And you can kind of get sort of an historical overview of the history of world religions through just that symbol. As you mentioned, it certainly has been taken as a parody, where I think, I think to your point about the number of religious stickers, is that that does become such an emotional target button for so many people. And so many people are sort of lashing out and responding to the point where they even have, you know, you mentioned the Darwin fish with the legs, and there's the dinosaur eating the fish, and the science fish eating the fish, and then the truth fish eating the Darwin fish. So everyone's coming back and forth. There's even one of the evolution fish having sex with the Christian fish. So it's really interesting to see that back and forth, to see that people really are paying attention and they're responding. And then, and in a sense, it's almost like they're having the conversation that I would want them to have when I'm writing this book, but just through the symbols on their cars.
I guess it's kind of nice that it's a quiet conversation.
Well, it is quiet, but it is, I mean, these are somewhat abrasive. I mean, I have to imagine that if you, you know, deeply believe that this simple fish symbol, which, you know, guided believers to safer passages to practice their beliefs when they were being persecuted, you now put, you know, end chips in the middle to say fish and chips, or you now have, you know, Darwin written inside that fish having sex with your fish. It certainly is. I guess it's a quiet conversation, but it's a little jolting. I mean, there's some real punch to some of these.
Yeah. Well, let's take our first break right now, and then we'll come back and hopefully take some more of your phone calls. You can tell us whether you have a bumper sticker on your car. If you don't, why don't you have a bumper sticker on your car? Have you ever really stopped to examine what's holding you back? And if you do, what have you got there, and why have you chosen to advertise your beliefs on your car? Is there a particular bumper sticker you'd like to talk about and really get into the nitty-gritty philosophy of it this morning? This is the time to do it at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you can send your email to talk@wpr.org. Jack Bowen, our guest this morning, he's a philosophy teacher at the Menlo School and author of If You Can Read This, The Philosophy of Bumper Stickers. I'm Veronica Rickert with you for Kathleen Dunn today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Veronica Rickert with you this morning. I'm in today for Kathleen Dunn as we talk bumper stickers with Jack Bowen, our guest. He's a philosophy teacher at the Menlo School in California and author of If You Can Read This, The Philosophy of Bumper Stickers. And we have an email here from Janet in Denmark who writes, two of my favorite bumper stickers have come from NPR's own Car Talk. And one of them is Drive Now, Talk Later. That's a new one. And the other one is Unencumbered by the Thought Process. So a couple there. And there's another one here from, Janet in Denmark. Oh, I'm going to have to wait. I can't quite get to the spot there. I think it's one from New Zealand. There we go. This is a bumper sticker in New Zealand that read, Chaos, Panic, and Disorder. My work here is done. Have you seen those?
Boy, the chaos panic and disorder, I haven't. Drive now, talk later. I mean, that's very popular out here. We've got our new cell phone laws, and, you know, so everyone's very whipped up into a frenzy there. But the New Zealand sticker, I've not seen.
What category would you put that one in?
Oh, I'd have to say humor, although I do wonder if there's a religious undertone there, but that seems more humorous than anything.
I like that one. That's a good one.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for those emails, guys. And on to David in Port Wing. Hi, David.
Hi. Life is slippery. That was from a bar. And my very favorite is Don't Believe Everything You Think.
Ah, I like that one.
I really like that. The life is slippery. I've also not heard and enjoy for any number of reasons. But the that second one you mentioned is I start off one of the chapters with that, the don't believe everything you think, and have a lot of fun with it. I mean, it's one of those we're cognitively wired to we just get some things wrong. I think it's more like saying don't believe everything you believe, or I prefer to flip it on its head and say, think about everything you believe. But it's a really catchy sticker that really gets into some deeper sort of psychological issues.
I'm not sure I get the life is slippery one.
Yeah, I think it's, if you can look big picture, I imagine, say, like, what is the meaning of life? Oh, we can't figure it out. It's such a slippery term. Or life is slippery in the sense that it's not perfect. Like, you'd like to be in complete control, but you're going to slip. Things are going to happen. It's not exactly how you hope.
I see. Okay. Now I'm getting it. Yeah, those are good ones, though. So those are really our, both of those, I guess, are deeper commentaries on the human existence.
Yeah.
Well, thank you to David in Port Wing and Asia calling us from Poisipi. Hello, Asia.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just had one that seemed to be outside of the category of most that have been talked about. Not humorous, not religious, but on my boyfriend's car, he actually has a bumper sticker that says, "The end of the human race will be because of civilization."
Ah.
I was wondering what the speaker thought about that one.
The end of the human race will be because of civilization?
Yes.
Well, I think I would have to imagine that's us in sort of this age of industrialization, that the human race by becoming civilized, quote unquote. I mean, I'm kind of surprised that civilization isn't in quotes, as if to say, like, wait a minute, what's so civilized about civilization if we're the ones that, because we're becoming so, I guess, again, we'll put in quotes, advanced technologically speaking, that we're actually going to be the demise of ourselves. So I think that's it calls into question sort of the value that we assign with notions such as civilization, or the term I used, advancement. Like, wait, are we really, is this more civilized than we were 100 years ago, 100,000 years ago? Because it seems like this whole civilization thing might be the thing that ends us to begin with.
Well, thank you, Asia. That's a good one to think about
one.
There. And Gloria with us from Waupaca. Hello, Gloria.
Hello. I'm representing the Waupaca Master Gardeners, and we are passing around a bumper sticker among ourselves to use that says, "Compost happens." Everybody loves it.
That's great.
That really is a great one. I actually had a good time with that genre of bumper sticker. The one that I used was Kaka Akurath. I think Compost Happens is a much better... Kaka Akurath is a nice play on the original one, but Compost Happens is really nice. And I looked at that in a similar way, actually, from an earlier caller, the bumper sticker two callers ago, David, who called about the bumper sticker, "Life is Slippery," that... stuff happens. That's what happens in life. Like, you need to expect stuff to happen. And now it's almost like this sticker is taking a little more active role. And instead of saying, well, things are going to happen, good and bad, we can actually make stuff happen, such as compost. It's a really nice twist.
Oh, thanks, Gloria.
And, of course, it takes the place of the original saying.
Right.
Which is not a likely thing to say on the air.
No. But that's also what's great about it.
This can be used to make good things happen in the garden. How about that?
Did you guys make that one up, Gloria?
No, I found it in a funky little store in St. Louis that sells all kinds of strange things.
Okay.
And it was in the window, and I couldn't pass it up, and I bought all that they had, and we're enjoying them.
Great. Well, thanks so much. Which raises an interesting question, Jack. I mean, who writes bumper stickers? Some of these get so widely read, you'd think people would want creds.
Yeah, that is very interesting. Actually, Random House, my publisher, was concerned with that initially. As they, you know, they said, "Well, wait a minute, who has rights to these slogans or the actual stickers?" And we chose not to use the sticker art in the book, but instead to make our own stickers. But there are any number. I mean, you can go online and find find companies that have, you know, just hundreds of thousands of bumper sticker slogans. And then there are some sites online where you, it's a really interesting sort of a viral thing where you can go on and make, design your own bumper sticker. And then if I go on and see a bumper sticker that I like and buy it, and it's the one that you made, you know, you get 50 cents, you know, from that sale and so on and so forth. So it is a little bit viral in that sense.
Have you ever met any of the authors? It'd be interesting just to see what these people are like.
Well, yeah, I'm actually in the midst of a conversation with someone who runs, I guess he's not so much an author, he runs one of these sites, because he's very interested, obviously, in the book and in getting people to think a little deeper behind the slogans. My parents, I mean, I'll share one with you that my parents made. They made 10,000 of them. The bumper sticker said, "Pro," I have to get this right, "Pro choice before conception, pro-life afterwards."
Oh.
And it takes a while to sift through what's actually being said there.
Right, and they made their own, so they really cared deeply and wanted to get that out there.
Exactly, and they made 10,000 of them. And interestingly, my mother, very sweet woman, out on the road with her new sticker on her car, she came home that day and said, "Everyone is so aggressive. I had three people give me the finger. I had felt like someone was trying to run me off the road." And I said, "Mom, is today that you put that new, very strongly worded sticker on your car?" And she said,
"Wow.
Well, yes, but that can't be." And you made the sticker to get a reaction out of it. You want people to be thinking about this. So,
well, I guess that might be why some people don't put them on. I remember there were some news stories around election time of people who had Obama stickers, you know, maybe, or vice versa, political bumper stickers in the wrong zone, getting their car smashed or being the victims of some aggression.
Well, yeah, that's another thing I touch on briefly in the introduction to sort of show the power of words, is that there are a number. There was a man who was literally pulled over and given a ticket for the sticker, "Abort Obama, not the unborn," because they were concerned about, like, the use of "abort" there. If you're, you know, an abortion is to literally kill this organism. And so they were saying that he was promoting killing Obama. What he was, you know, he said, "Well, I'm using the term abort to say, you know, not to kill, but just to terminate his." But there are a lot of people being removed from political talks and being fined for what their bumper sticker said.
Oh, so they are strong. I mean, they do get out there, and people read them and they care. They react.
I guess, yeah, that's the good news.
And the bad.
And the bad.
Okay, another one here. We've got Anne with us from Madison. Hi, Anne.
Hi. Well, I wanted to tell a story about my father, who didn't believe in advertising his beliefs or income or dislikes or prejudices or anything else on his car. He didn't want to make it a walking advertisement. And I remember once he had just bought a car. He was at the dealers, and the dealer started to attach either a bumper sticker, I think it was one of those, you know, highly adhesive little labels that had the name, the address, the phone number of the dealer on it to his back windshield. And so my father took a business card out of his pocket and some scotch tape, and he went to the front door of the dealer, and he started to tape his business card to the front door. And the dealer said, "Well, what are you doing?" And my father said, "Well, if you're going to make my car an advertisement for you, I want you to advertise my business."
Oh, wow.
Which I thought was, you know, that was sort of typical of his attitude. But I don't believe in bumper stickers, because if you're involved in anything the least bit controversial, the more bumper stickers you have, the more likely you are to be a moving target.
Hmm. So you think people can kind of spot you out easier with bumper stickers?
Oh, you betcha.
What do you think, Jack? Is there people wanting the anonymity when they don't
certainly
put bumper stickers on?
I mean, I get asked all the time. I actually don't have bumper stickers on my car, but I'm not so sure. I mean, I think to some extent, I mean, I'm clearly, it's not that I'm not an outspoken person. I wrote, you know, an entire philosophy, you know, book based on these big ideas. This is my third book, so I clearly have something to say. And I think there's great value to getting these sort of these thoughts out into the marketplace of ideas, as I think of them. And there's really something to be said. I think that bumper stickers really can provide great value. As you see, it causes people to at least think about these things and respond to them. But I certainly understand that someone might not want to be driving around, giving their thoughts on abortion everywhere they go. I mean, that does seem like it would. And again, I don't pass a judgment on it. I don't necessarily see it as good or bad. It's not something that I would want to do, to go to every stranger that I can get my hands on and talk to them about the death penalty and abortion. But I certainly understand it.
Thank you so much for that call, Anne. And another from Benjamin with us from Watertown. Hi, Benjamin.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Love your program.
Thanks.
Well, I guess I'd start out by saying I got a used vehicle. It had an abortion sticker on it. I don't agree with abortion, but I'm a man. I have no idea on how I can even relate to it, so I'm also pro-choice. But I don't agree with putting out my opinion everywhere. And at the same time, I really appreciate, other people having bumper stickers that provoke my own thought. It's very opinionated person, but I almost use them as a, what am I going to think about now? And I see a sticker and I, think about it and go on from there. So, I mean, I appreciate the opinion, but like you guys were saying, I like the anonymity, in my own vehicle, my own life.
Right. And there are times, certainly, I've been grateful to have a bumper sticker to read when I'm sitting in traffic somewhere. So it's almost as though you wouldn't want a world without bumper stickers, but people like Benjamin, might not choose to have one.
Yeah, I really like that term, to appreciate them, or the way that you framed it. I think of it as sort of an invitation, like it's an invitation to think about these things. I will say, to Benjamin, the point about being a male and not weighing in, or being able to voice an opinion on abortion. I mean, I'm actually, and I've heard that argument, I completely understand it. But I think, we're talking about the rights of it currently living individuals in our society and the rights of organisms. I mean, fetuses are organisms; they are living. I guess the question is, are they moral persons? And I'm not so sure we need to be a female to have a moral voice in that. I know we don't want to get too off topic, and I'm not weighing in either way on the issue. But I do think that as a community, that we can all weigh in on the issue.
Well, I guess you could extend that to just about everything on planet Earth, because everyone's a citizen.
Absolutely.
But, Benjamin, thank you for that phone call. We appreciate that. And let's take another break right now. We are talking this morning bumper stickers with Jack Bowen, a philosophy teacher at the Menlo School in California, and the author of If You Can Read This, The Philosophy of Bumper Stickers. And we'd love to hear from you if you have a favorite bumper sticker, one that really made you stop a minute and think. If you don't have a bumper sticker, what do you think of other people who do? Our number is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can send your email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Veronica Rickert with you this morning on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And good morning once again, Veronica Rickert. I'm in this morning for Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network as we talk about bumper stickers this morning and the philosophy of bumper stickers with our guest, Jack Bowen, who's the author of If You Can Read This, The Philosophy of Bumper Stickers. He teaches philosophy at the Menlo School in California. And Jack, there's been a bunch of emails coming in, so why don't we just read some of the bumper stickers that listeners via email are sharing. This is from John in Green Bay, who writes, one that made me pay attention and back off was, I break for hallucinations. I like that one. And we're making enemies faster than we can kill them. So two thought-provoking ones there that make you stop. The first one certainly has a twist. There's one from Joe in Richland Center, who writes, dogs have owners, cats have staff. That's always a good one. People really like that one. I know that's been around for a while. And from Nancy in Heartland, one that she has, or one that she likes, is humankind, be both. And where am I, and why am I in this handbasket?
Yeah, the handbasket one is great. I actually use that with my students as a way of showing them good rhetoric to get people to say something without actually saying, and some of them actually don't even know the phrase going to hell in a handbasket. I'm afraid maybe that's just it's becoming a slightly antiquated
You don't come across many hand baskets these days.
Maybe that's it. But humankind is another great example, and be both, and sort of what does it mean to be human? I mean, we know what it means to be kind, and that's an easy one to figure out. I don't think, maybe it's not easy for all of us to do, but what does it really mean to be human? It reminds me of another one. When you asked initially about the bumper stickers that sort of kicked it all off, my wife and I went to a dinner party in San Francisco, and I was seeing if I could get, because when you go to a dinner party as a philosopher and you want to talk about what you do, you don't usually get invited back. So I follow Emily Post's and guidelines, and we talk about sports and the weather. But I threw out this one, and it really generated great conversation. And it is, what if the hokey pokey is what it's all about?
Oh, I love that one.
And then everyone started, you know, someone chimed in and said, but isn't, you know, even though this is sort of meant to be humorous, if you're not doing what makes you happy and sort of, you know, quote unquote, shaking it all about, then what is the meaning of life? And then someone responded, but there's got to be something intrinsically more meaningful than just shaking it all about and happiness. And the exciting thing for me is that we were sitting there discussing, you know, the purpose of life question almost unbeknownst to ourselves.
I guess that's what bumper stickers do. And they also make it fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's not as though you're putting a big, meaty, philosophical question out there on the table for people to have at. It kind of tricks you.
Right. Well, that's when I sit at dinner and say, hey, everyone, do you guys want to try to solve, you know, the question, the what is the purpose of life question? Everyone grumbles and says, oh, Jack, you know, silly philosopher. So you're right. Is it's, I guess, tricks is a good, I've had a couple people say, wow, this book really fooled me. I thought it was a book on bumper stickers, and it actually got me thinking about really big ideas in a fun way.
Is there a category of bumper stickers that is just sort of absurd? I mean, there's one I'm thinking of in your book, which is Humpty Dumpty was pushed. And I can't imagine that there are bigger issues there, but it's fun to read when you're sitting in a car.
Yeah, there are some. I mean, I guess I put that in the humorous category, you know, the one I mentioned earlier about if God dwells within, I sure hope he likes enchiladas. Humpty Dumpty was pushed. It actually gave me the opportunity to look at sort of, you know, literature and postmodernism in sort of a fun, playful way. But I have to imagine that it's just, you know, it's just like people wearing funny slogans on a T-shirt, that it's a way to show your personality. It is clever. I mean, it's funny to think about Humpty Dumpty being pushed and what that would mean and whether or not maybe Jack and Jill were pushed, and you can have this sort of playful discussion. But I think it's just a way of asserting one's playful nature.
Back to the phones now. We've got Jeff joining us from La Crosse. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. Good morning.
Morning.
There's a couple here. The first one would be that I had one on my truck that drew some pretty funny looks and strange comments for a while was... the voices inside my head said, I can't go to work today. The voices inside my head said, stay home and clean the guns.
Ooh.
The other one that I heard on Paul Harvey quite a few years ago is, don't drink and drive. You might hit a bump and spill your drink.
I've seen that one. Yeah, those are playful, but they always, you know, they're the kind of thing that I think you're right. If you're in a car and someone else sees that on your car, you know, especially that first one, they might give you a little extra room there.
Yeah, those are the ones that there's a even more crass along those lines. Like I miss my wife, but by the second time I shot, I got her. You know, and it's like what is driving someone to put this genre of sticker?
Right.
I mean, because that goes a little beyond. I mean, you know, poking fun at drinking and driving, or shooting your. I mean, I get the playfulness in words, but it's just a really strange. Those are the things that I sort of leave to Malcolm Gladwells of the world. Like, and I've actually emailed him a few times. I wish I'd gotten to him sooner to write a foreword for this book. But hey, Malcolm, can you look into what's going on psychologically with these? You know, as a philosopher, I'm trying to distill what the deeper meaning. But what in the world is driving people to poke fun at drinking and driving?
And some of those are kind of antisocial. It's sort of saying I'm not playing by your rules.
Right. And maybe that's part of it. It's sort of, you know, I'm going to do my thing regardless of, you know, what you want to do or who you are, which isn't the case because they're always driving on the correct side of the road and, you know, all these other things. But anarchy is just, it's not a functional philosophy.
Well, there are some that are classics that seem to be around perennially. There's one I've seen for many years, at least it seems like I have, of Gandhi, a picture of Gandhi and the words, be the change.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the Jesus fish is another one. And you don't see, I guess, the random acts of kindness one quite as much as you used to anymore.
Yeah, we actually still, that's still alive and well out here on the West Coast. But yeah, that one, and another one that's popular here, and I know not so much on the East Coast, is the bumper sticker that just says coexist. Have you seen?
Yeah, that one's also popular.
Okay, yeah, and it's made up of all different symbols, you know, like Islam, Christianity, Buddhism, science. So that's a very popular one. Imagine World Peace is a popular one that's been around for a while that now has an interesting play on it. It's Imagine World Peas.
Right. That one took some thinking about.
Yeah. I guess it's a silly... It's odd to imagine why we would want to poke fun at Imagine World Peace. I guess it's another, you know, we're kind of showing how quirky and humorous we can be. But yeah, there are. And those were fun ones to delve into because everyone knows them. They've been around for a long time. And they are actually, I mean, there's some real philosophical issues behind those things and what it means to have, you know, what would world peace even mean?
Well, there's one from, another one from Gandhi that Victoria in Appleton has emailed, one that she likes. It's her favorite. It's, there's more to life than increasing its speed.
Oh, that is a good one.
Have you seen that one?
I haven't. I have seen the his other one. It's got the picture of him, like you mentioned, with Be the Change. Actually, my brother's wife's company is called BTC Elements. It's about being the change. She's literally living it, which is a great, that's one of the things I think philosophers are maybe rightly and wrongly criticized for, is coming up with all these theories and never, you know, doing anything and have them, you know, they're not terribly pragmatic. But they really are. I mean, there are things that we need to act on and do, whether they're, you know, intrinsic, like the meaning of life question, or, you know, what we're going to do about war or abortion or these big issues. So I do like, you know, that saying, that phrase. That's a great bumper sticker.
Well, thank you to Victoria for that one. And we'll go back to the phones right now. And let's take another call from Adam in Rockford. Hi, Adam.
Hi. I have a bumper sticker that's kind of meaningful for me. It says, we do not inherit the earth from our ancestors. We borrow it from our children. I think about the places that have been lost that I used to play as a kid that are now developments or whatever. And what places am I going to leave? What, you know, when I give this world to the next generation, am I giving it to them better than I got it in, or as good a condition as I got it in?
Yeah, that's a nice one. Jack that, Bowen?
That is a great one. It reminds you, there's a sticker that says, love your mother, and there's a picture of the earth. I actually contrast that one with another sticker that, again, has great rhetoric, but is maybe not as rosy as we'd like, that says, at least the war on the environment is going well.
All right. This was kind of funny. I mean, it can be both. It can be funny and pointed, and that's what that one is.
Absolutely. I mean, I guess it's funny because it's true in that sort of sad way, but it's very well put.
Okay, well, thanks, Adam. Thanks for sharing that one. And Lisa in Jackson. Hello, Lisa.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing well. Well, I've got a couple of them, actually. One, I strongly believe in the trap, neuter, release program for feral cats. So I've got a bumper sticker on my old car that says, cats nap, only humans put them to sleep, which I think is kind of poignant.
Hmm.
And the other one is when I was much younger, you know, I was kind of a very strong Republican, but I was also a little bit of a wild child, so I had a freak sticker, and I had a Bush-Cheney sticker, and I cannot tell you how many times I looked in the back and saw people in my rearview mirror just pointing at my car and laughing because they couldn't understand it. But I was like, well, yeah, maybe I'm a little weird.
Yeah, that's good, the juxtaposition. I remember literally the day the book came out, I had an interview in Berkeley, and when I was driving there, I was sitting behind a red light, and there was a bumper sticker that says, you know, like something like nothing matters, but next to it was one that said abolish all corporations, right? And I thought, wait a minute, so something does matter. Clearly corporations matter and you don't like them. So it was an interesting contrast. I'm wondering why, just listening to your first bumper sticker, I think a really interesting bumper sticker would just be trap, period, neuter, period, release. Like, that's thought-provoking and could be seen on many different levels, but the juxtaposition is great.
Is there a category of bumper stickers that is sort of purely informational, not trying to sell you anything in a catchy slogan, but just getting word out, just really utilitarian?
Boy, it's not, I mean, unless you're literally advertising a product which I will make fun of. You know, my wife and I are driving, and I'll say, "Oh, look, you know, want your house painted? Call this number. What a great bumper sticker!" And we kind of laugh. And I guess that's, you know, that's not even in the category of what we're talking about, and that's basically an advertisement. So yes, I mean, I guess, you know, that would be the answer. It's sort of a different genre of sticker.
Thanks so much to Lisa for that call. And one from Carol in Milwaukee. Hello, Carol.
Hi. A couple of my favorites are, I love animals. They're delicious.
Right.
One in northern Minnesota said, I heart global warming. And I guess I also like the opportunity to come up with a comeback, because I heard a story about a Jewish man who came across somebody with a bumper sticker that said, my boss is a Jewish carpenter. And he went up to him and said, you know Mendel Rubin?
Boy, the I heart global warming is gutsy.
I was just thinking that. I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, well, along the lines of the animals ones, there's one in my book that I focus on, similar in a similar vein. If we're not supposed to eat animals, then how come they're made of meat?
Right. So I think someone emailed in about that one, actually.
But you can, I mean, in the first line, I immediately remind the sticker owner, well, you're made of meat.
Ah.
Right. So it's one of those. It a lot of these stickers seem so catchy initially. We say, well, goodness, like, whether or not you believe in evolution or intelligent design, animals are made of meat. They evolved that way or were created that way. It seems like they were created to be eaten. Oops, I'm made of meat. It's just hard because I'm the center of the universe. How can I be made of meat?
Right. Oh, you just created a comeback out there. Somewhere, somebody's going to have
right.
that before too long. It occurs to me that the I Heart Global Warming was seen in Minnesota.
Right. No, I definitely get that. They're enjoying
right.
the warmth that they don't get maybe as much as we do out here.
Well, thanks so much for those calls, Carol. And on to Chuck, who is joining us from Lake Delton. Welcome, Chuck.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
The one that was in the Capital Times, it's attributed to Jimi Hendrix, is when the power of love overcomes the love of power, the world will know peace.
That's a nice one.
That is nice. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Chuck. Now, the Jimi Hendrix one, have you heard that one before?
Yes.
Were there any that really surprised you that you hadn't seen before?
Boy, well, I, you know, it's funny. I've become known as the bumper sticker guy, which I'm not, you know, I guess I had it coming to me. I spent 2 years writing a book on bumper stickers. Although, you know, all three of my books are much more focused on philosophy and sort of making philosophy accessible, to the, I hate the term the layperson, but sort of the uninitiated. And so I really was not terribly familiar with bumper stickers at all. And now I'm sort of thrust in the middle. I almost wished I'd thought about journaling just for myself about the writing of this book, because I do speak at a lot of writing seminars, and it just became too stilted. Like, it didn't feel like the book was flowing. It felt more rigid. And so I didn't do this, but I would love to go back when I started, you know, looking for bumper stickers initially, because I remember being just blown away in a really excited way about how many really, I mean, how many great things were being said so quickly. There's a teacher where I teach who assigns the one sentence essay. And I never got that until I started reading bumper stickers and thinking, wow, it's really challenging to write a good bumper sticker. And there's a lot of good stuff going on out there.
Well, right. That's kind of like writing the 7-word memoir, that trend
right,
that's going
right.
on right now. If you can distill it down to that essence, you really have to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to the telephones right now. And we have here John from Nina. And hi, John.
Hi. If I were to write my own bumper sticker, I'd add on to one you mentioned earlier. Humpty Dumpty was pushed, or was he pulled?
I love that. The conversation keeps going.
There it is. There's the response. I think you need to get that online and start selling it.
Okay. Thanks.
Do you think a lot of people who do these create-your-own bumper stickers, do you think that they often catch on, or is it just a one-off vanity thing?
I'm guessing more of the latter, the sort of the one-off vanity. But it is fun. I mean, it's a fun way to kind of assert yourself and get yourself out there. And this, you know, Facebook, and this is one of the things that Random House really liked for the selling point of this book, is they have like over 26 million users of the bumper sticker app, in the sense that people are starting to, for better or worse, speak in such terse statements, whether it's, you know, tweeting or texting or now this bumper sticker app, that it's now become one of the only ways to really get someone's attention. You know, writing the essay or the long letter is becoming, and in my mind, unfortunately, outdated. And this is now the means of communication. So I think there's a little bit of both going on.
Obviously, you love bumper stickers, but do you ever feel like there's something disrespectful about them? Because we're saying these things, and we're saying them really strongly, and they're the kind of things that you wouldn't say over the dinner table to a host you might not know so well, but you'll say it to the stranger in the car.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And I don't know if I would say disrespectful. I guess, as I mentioned, I mean, I think that the bumper stickers, as we talked about right from the get-go, I see them as an invitation. And unfortunately, because of the anonymity, you know, we behave in so many different ways in our car than we would if we were, you know, walking down the street and trying to walk by someone. You know, we wouldn't yell at them or give them some sort of gesture. We would say, excuse me, or, you know, walk by quietly. So I actually see them as more of an invitation. And, you know, the overtly offensive ones, you know, I write off as, you know, sad and unfortunate, but I have to give the benefit of the doubt. You know, it's 95% of the people are really trying to find a way to voice their opinion, and for whatever reason, this is the way that they're kind of getting that done.
Well, Jack Bowen, thank you so much for your time this morning. It's been really a treat to talk about bumper stickers with you this morning.
Well, thank you, Veronica. This was really fun.
Jack Bowen, a philosophy teacher at the Menlo School and the author of If You Can Read This, The Philosophy of Bumper Stickers. I'm Veronica Rickert, and it's been a pleasure hanging out with you this morning talking bumper stickers. I'll be on tomorrow as we talk with Nathaniel Philbrick about his new book, Custer's Last Stand. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for answering your phone calls, and thanks to Chrissy Pease for production as well. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.